Welcome back to the Bridge Church podcast. Matt's got a fancy new mic.
This is very nice.
It is very nice.
I'm not giving this one up.
No. So we'll be able to hear you crystal clear.
That should sound even better now.
In theory.
Or better now, I should say.
So, Matt, this is a wee one, a wee podcast on the preaching plan for this year or the next few months, just to clarify.
It's going to be for quite a lot of months, actually.
Okay, interesting. People are intrigued. So
yeah.
What is the plan on the preaching front?
The plan is to get back to a gospel, and we're doing Matthew's gospel.
Okay, could you give us, where have we been over the past?
Yeah, so I was thinking, you may spot something I missed here, Dave, but working backwards, so just before this, of course, we've done more chapters of Genesis. Before that, we did 1 Peter. Before that, Fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
Hebrews before that, then going back before that, 1 Thessalonians. There was some Genesis before that too. We've been doing chunks of Genesis. Malachi before that.
Yep.
Philemon, that maybe remembers back that far, and Revelation. Before that, we did Jonah. So all this now, this is going back into COVID now. Revelation, Jonah, and then we were finishing Mark's Gospel in March 2019. So basically, we were finishing Mark's Gospel as COVID was starting.
Yeah. You missed a few. Obviously, you go into exile for like a month in August, don't you?
So there are other little series. Sorry.
You missed all the August
other
series.
Other little series.
Yes.
There were other series in there as well. I should have said that.
The insignificant one.
And a few topical ones too, weren't there?
The time when nothing ever happens in the Bridge
Church. That says a lot about me. I just completely ignored the topical series there. But yes, I did miss out a few, sorry.
Take that, Dave. your labour's not in vain. Okay, sorry. dear.
Well, hey, one Peter was all you. I mentioned that one. I didn't cut that one out.
Well, Steve did one and Paul Whiteley did one as well, so not all
me. Yeah, absolutely true.
So, sorry, sidetrack. Why Matthew's Gospel then?
Well, I think we would both say, by the way, he's asking me these questions, but Dave was a major pusher for Matthew's Gospel as well. I think we just felt...
Is this your way of being like, blame him?
Yeah, blame him as well. We just felt the need for a gospel, I think, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because we know all the Bible's about Jesus and all the Bible's from the triune God.
Yeah.
But Jesus is just so immediate in a gospel, isn't he? He makes himself so real to us. It's like you're walking around the streets of Palestine and seeing him heal people and you're smelling the sweat and the dust, and it just makes him very, very real.
Yeah.
So it's good, I think, not to go too long without going through a gospel.
Yeah.
I know you said that a while ago, and I completely agree. A lot of people, I loved going through Mark's gospel. This one's going to take longer, but I loved going through Mark's Gospel. And it's got many similarities to Mark's Gospel, Matthew has, but with lots of wonderful additions as well and some new angles. And I think we were also particularly attracted to Matthew's particular themes, which we think are going to be helpful. So for all those reasons, we wanted to do a Gospel, and Matthew's the one that grabbed us.
Yeah, I think also, just to explain, we... I've been, in the past year, we've been in and out of Luke's Gospel for, we're in the summer. We did it for Easter as well. And then the previous year, we were in John's Gospel for Easter and for Christmas. So we'd touched on those two different ones more recently and now.
Yeah, actually, I forgot that actually, because we were in the latter, the sort of John.
Not just pretty 14, face,
17, weren't we?
I've got a base for radio.
We spent a good few weeks there in John. So yes, other good reasons that Matthew is the one we've touched on
the least,
really.
Yeah. Okay, so you had a little giggle there because you talked about how we're going to be in Matthew's Gospel a little bit longer, and then you giggled. So
high pitched.
Yeah. How are we breaking it down?
Well, the plan is, if God is willing, we're actually going to be doing this through to, wait for it, Easter 2026.
Good grief.
So this is going to take
Grab
us a while.
Grab your pitchforks.
Yeah. I mean, I would add, that's going to be broken up quite a lot. Lots of other, so we're going to have Easter's, Christmas in between chunks. We've got a few other series, topical series and expository series planned in. But for those reasons, and because it's a longer gospel, quite a bit longer than Mark.
28 chapters.
Yeah. Then it's the longest series we've ever planned and ever done.
That's serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair.
I'm excited about it. I mean, I can imagine some people going pale, but I'm loving the idea.
Well, I mean, Leviticus is like 28 chapters. I feel like going through Matthew's gospel is quite a different story as to going through something like Leviticus for a long time.
And because so much, well, it's all, you know,
it's all narrative God's word, and teaching.
Yeah. So it's all action or conversation. And so it's very different to working through other longer books.
Yeah. I think if you said to someone, we're going to do all of Matthew's gospel in 1 year, like no breaks, no nothing at all, people would either think, well, you're not going to cover anything with any real depth because you're going to be flying through it. And it means that we'll be looking at like passages of church discipline at Christmas time. Like if we did it.
Yes, we're trying to time it well also, aren't we?
So yeah, we're trying to chunk it out.
So inevitably a book that long, if you try to do it in a shorter period, you're either skimming or you're cutting out big chunks. And we just didn't want to do that because these Gospels are written as coherent accounts that we want to get all the marrow out of, don't we?
Yes. I sort of answered my next question, which was, why not all at once? And it's basically...
Yeah, just because it's so big. I mean, how do you eat an elephant in manageable chunks?
Yeah.
So,
bit by bit. So, what are you excited to look at in Matthew 1-7?
Well, the Sermon on the Mount is the bit that jumps out at me. So there are it's five, isn't it? Five main teaching sections in Matthew's Gospel, and that's the first one. So you get the introduction to Jesus and his ministry, and then you're into the Sermon on the Mount. And it's just a wonderful part of scripture. We have spent time there as a church in the past, should say. We did
Sermon on the
Mount. Yeah. When was that? 2018, I'm going to say?
It was BD, before Dave.
That was quite a long time ago. So I'm looking forward to revisiting that because this is one of the big themes in Matthew's about the king and the kingdom.
Yep.
And that's where we see how the king calls his kingdom people to live. So that they're not saved by living a certain way. Because he came to save them by his death and resurrection. But once they're his kingdom subjects, he calls them to this radical, radiant, salty life, if you don't know what I mean by that. Tune in when we get to Sermon on the Mount. And he applies his moral law to his people's lives. So I really think if we come to that section prayerfully, it's going to change us in a way that makes us shine, you know, into our streets and the society around us. So really looking forward to that part of Matthew 1-7.
I'll tell you what I'm excited to look at, Matt.
Go on then, Matt.
Since you didn't ask me the question. Good grief.
I only had one coffee today so far.
Your head's pickled. And you've been in traffic for 40 minutes.
Yeah, major traffic jam.
So what am I excited to look at? We've made those wee booklets for the teenagers again. And we've tried to say that the big theme of Matthew is make way for the king. Which I think I'm excited to look at that, in that Jesus is the king. He's the one who has all authority and we're to respond to him. And part of responding to him is to make room in your life to follow him. Which I think is just something radical whenever we're so individualistic.
Yeah.
Just to think that actually the Lord Jesus has something to say to us and he commands, calls his people to live in a way. And since he's the good king, he's the king of Psalm 2, his law, his rule is actually for our good and for our benefit. So making way for Jesus is the best thing for us in 2023. So I'm excited.
I think we lose that, going back to the Sermon on the Mount stuff, the idea of his rule, you know, that Jesus is king, he's our king, Lord, master, whatever words we might use from scripture. We know he's our friend and saviour, but that we miss that aspect of his, who he is, his kingship sometimes.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Summer and Alad, before they go under the water, what do they confess? Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
They are confessing that he is the king of their lives and has the right to tell them how they are to live.
Yeah.
So what themes, any particular themes we're going to keep coming back to?
Well, really, we've already started touching on the main ones. I was going to mention, that the king and his kingdom, they're going to be amongst the most important themes. This is where it links in a lovely way with what we've been seeing in the early chapters of Genesis. God is restoring his reign on earth. Yeah. I mean, he's always been king, but his acknowledged reign on earth, not just in Israel, but through his Messiah, Jesus, the king from David's line, to the whole world. Jesus is the King of Kings. So his word, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, is God's law to us. He's got total authority. it's to him every knee will bow. So he's that sort of a king. And yet he's the kind and gentle and compassionate king, as we see throughout the gospel. So as I said earlier, you helped push us in this direction, Dave, of Matthew's gospel. So what other themes would you throw in there?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus keeps saying, "You've heard it said, but I say to you," like he is. That's the interesting thing about Matthew's gospel, isn't it? It's written to Jewish people, and the five chunks. Commentators note that's like the five books of the Old Testament, of the Law of Moses.
Something, there's a link there, don't they? Yeah,
which is helpful. Just to think that this is God Himself telling us how we ought to live. I'm excited. This past weekend, at a Growing Young Disciples training day, they were talking to us about how we need to teach biblical ethics to our kids and young people, and showing how lots of the ethics of our day, like right to life, don't murder, their ideas rooted in the scriptures. To say the reason we believe about the equality and dignity of all people is because of what we find in the Sermon on the Mount. So I think I'm looking forward to the opportunity to say the reason why we all believe these things is actually because the Lord Jesus says it. So I suppose to look at that. And I am especially excited. I think Matthew's Gospel starts chapter 1, talks about authority. And then in chapter 28, it says all authority.
Yeah.
It begins with Emmanuel, God with us. Ends 28, surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So just that sort of image that Jesus has the authority, but he's with us through all of this stuff.
And also to add that, you know, the thing you pick up right from the beginning is, as you said, there's a real Jewish flavour to this gospel. This is the vast majority of people, although it's technically anonymous, would say, yeah, Matthew wrote this. Matthew, the tax collector, Levi. It's a very Jewish gospel written by a Jew, probably for Jewish Christians. But he makes a big point all the way through about the inclusion of the Gentiles. Yeah. So this is a Jew writing this gospel for Jews, but saying, look at how Jesus has brought the Gentiles into his kingdom.
Yes, I heard a funny little phrase saying, was Jesus more new or Jew? Which I thought was funny. In that people often try to talk about Jesus being radical and totally transforming society, when actually he's just going back to the Old Testament in lots of ways, isn't he?
Yeah, so there you go. We got a both and in this podcast. We managed to do it.
Shock. So what would we love to see in the Bridge Church as we journey through Matthew's gospel over 3 years? Good grief.
Yeah. Well, not three full years, but three calendar years. It's going to sound like a trite answer, because really it's the answer whichever bit of the Bible we're looking at. But I'm just particularly hopeful for this. With Matthew's gospel, just more love for Jesus. So more love for him and growing in more likeness to Jesus. You know, this is what we see again and again in the New Testament, that we're saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we're being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus, increasingly like him. And I think that's one of the things I want to see happening in my life, in our lives, in the Bridge Church, as we sort of zoom in and look closely at Jesus' life. Because, of course, the whole New Testament of the Bible is about him, but you just see the human, divine Jesus so clearly in the Gospels that my prayer is that as we do that, and do that slowly, and just focus on different aspects of his character, different aspects of his love and his teaching, that we'll grow to know him more. And as we grow to know him more as Christians, we inevitably grow to love him more. So more love for Jesus and being more like Jesus, they're the big things I'm excited about and hoping and praying for as we move through Matthew's gospel.
I think I am excited. I'll ask myself the question. I think I'm... It's twice as happened, Matt. I just wanted to ask you a question.
You wrote all the questions, Dave, but you didn't write any questions for me to ask. These are the questions you were going to ask me.
I think I'm excited about the idea of making way for the king to actually be challenged in my life. Like, what areas am I compartmentalising and not letting them in? To see how the word works in me. I think I am excited to see how it stirs us to pray over the next 3 years. What we see in the word will guide and direct what we do and where we go, in the sense of we constantly see Jesus calling his people to pray. Even just that, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, ask. Like, that's Jesus' main command of his disciples, is to say, ask. So I'm excited to see how it helps us pray, or leads us to prayer, and leads us to act in our community for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, that makes me think, actually. You set me up nicely there. I've just started reading. I think you have too. Just started reading.
No, 10 of those mugged me off. Okay. So
I've just started reading. Dave's going to catch up. A Praying Church by Paul Miller.
Yeah.
I read his book on praying life some years ago when it first came out. Really, really helpful. So we're trusting this one's going to be really helpful for us as a church. And I think there's a real connection, as you say, between us being a praying church and working through Matthew's gospel. One of the things Miller says is this. We need discipleship that produces change into the image of Jesus. And this is, he's talking about corporate prayer, us praying together as church here.
Yeah.
That only happens when we concentrate on some aspect of Jesus long enough that we begin to look like him. I love that. And I just jotted in the margin, do we struggle to pray as a church, maybe because we focus too much on prayer rather than focusing on Jesus? We're constantly thinking about how do we pray, how do we encourage each other to pray, and sometimes I think we focus so much on the process of prayer that we're taking our eyes off Jesus.
I see.
Miller's saying, concentrate on some aspect of Jesus long enough that we begin to look like him. That's what energizes our private and corporate prayer life. Does that make sense?
I see. Rather than like getting the whip out and being like, get praying. Yeah. You should be praying, he says.
And yeah, it's good to think about, how do we do prayer meeting? How do we structure it? What notes do we provide?
I thought you were going to say it's good to get the whip out.
Not so much the whip out, no. But to have structure and ideas, creativity, all important things to do. But let's not spend more and more time on thinking, how can we do prayer well, prayer meeting well, prayer meeting creatively, when we could be spending a lot of that time just gazing at Jesus in his word, growing in love for him, and then that energizes us to want to talk to him, grow like him, and that this is what prayer together does. So there's a real link, I think.
I know it's tangential, but we often talk about gazing at Jesus, and it's just funny, isn't it? Because like, we can't see him.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, isn't it? To think, someone might hear, okay, what does gazing at Jesus actually mean?
Yeah. It's fair point, isn't it? I think with our mind's eye, with our hearts and our imagination. So, because you can see Jesus, can't you? In the Gospels, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Not physically, not a picture of what he looks like, but you really can see him and hear him. And as we prayerfully work through Matthew's Gospel, I'm trusting that's what's going to happen.
So, how can people prepare?
Well, one thing is, I think, but you've given me one of these scripture journals, Matthew scripture journals. I assume we've got them for everybody, have we?
No, I wasn't just being generous to you.
I didn't think so. So that's a relief, because I was going to say, when we get one of the Matthew scripture journals, NIV scripture journals, get one. Unless you particularly want to use your Bible and mark your Bible up, which is great, but I'd say get one, use it, mark it till it's falling apart. I think if you're using a scripture journal and it's falling apart by the end of Matthew, that's a good sign. And if there's not much paper left that you can see because there's so much ink, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Maybe use it for your devotions. Maybe start your devotions in Matthew now, before we get into Matthew proper, if you like, in the new year, although we're doing a few Matthew sermons before Christmas. Mm. So, and go through it at your own pace. Jot down questions that you want us to answer in our sermons or our podcasts.
There's some serious tricky things that Jesus says. Like if you were editing the Gospels, you'd definitely be like, oh, I don't want him to say that. Leave the dead to bury their dead.
Yes, he keeps doing things that we're like, as we're going to be seeing this Sunday with the genealogy, like, Matthew, why did you put that name in? I mean, that was a bad editorial choice, putting that name in.
Yeah.
All right, you had to put King David in there, despite the fact he messed up, because he's such a great figure. But why do you put her in there?
Yeah.
You know, these are the sort of questions that it's good to ask as we're working through and figure out why he's doing that.
Yeah.
See, because this is the Gospels are biographies, aren't they? They are histories, but they're not like modern ones.
Mm.
They're written by people who knew Jesus, were eyewitnesses or knew the eyewitnesses, and they've got a theological point to make as they record their history, their biography. So what's Matthew trying to say by recording this bit? These are the questions we need to be asking regularly as we go through.
Okay, how can people pray? So we've said, how can people prepare? How can people pray?
Well, again, I think it's quite a simple but bold prayer to be praying. Pray for us as we prepare and preach, and for yourselves as you listen, that God would make Jesus more real to us. So as we hear his word in Matthew and apply it to our lives, that we know more of Jesus' presence, his power, knowledge of him. And, you know, let's pray big prayers like, look, Jesus, as we go through Matthew, might we get to the end of it and know you better than we ever have done before. Why not pray a big prayer like that?
It's a good prayer. Are there any resources you'd point people towards if they want to get ahead? Is that the right word?
Two spring to mind for me. I think we can put this is very exciting. We can put the link in the show notes. Is that the right term, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a Matthew introduction on the Gospel Coalition website. They do introductions to all the Bible books. They're very thorough. There's videos in there, links to sermons, etc., and notes. So that could be really helpful. And in terms of the actual sections of Matthew and applying them to our lives, J.C. Ryle, you can get his books on the Gospels,
yeah,
by Banner of Truth. And they're basically little sermons on each bit of the Gospel. Very warm, very readable. I'd really, really recommend J.C. Ryle. I don't know if there's any you'd add to that list.
The Message of Michael. Those are often like the message of. They're in...
Message of Michael, you said?
Message of Michael. Message of Matthew, class. I'm just looking at it right now. The Bible Speaks Today series, that's what it's from.
Yeah, they're uniformly pretty good, aren't they?
I'm just looking on my Google while this is happening. You can get it off used books for £3.57.
Oh, man.
So,
bargain.
You're basically stealing there.
Yeah.
I reckon that would be a good one, just because they tend to condense it down into manageable chunks.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Just to say, yeah, be praying for me as I prepare for Sunday.
Got there in the end.
Yeah. I was just trying to think what day of the week it is. Man,
it's Friday.
It's Friday already. That's later than we usually do the podcast, isn't it? Yeah. Because I'm preaching on the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus, which is a list of hard to pronounce names, but there's so much good truth in there for us, even from that passage. So especially from that passage. So you could be praying for me and us as we prep and going into Christmas.
Yeah, you could be. You could pray as well that soon next Sunday I have the sermon, then I have the quiz, and then I have the carols by candlelight. So pray for joy for me as I proclaim God's word. And we've said, haven't we, that we're committing to doing this properly again. I know through Genesis we're...
Yeah, the podcast slipped off a bit, didn't they, for various reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be back to it every week.
Hopefully this has worked. Rich Saunders directed me towards a new type of software to record this, so hopefully the quality has been better and we upped the game and got Matt a big boy mic.
I'm very impressed with this mic.
We can hear his dulcet, if that's the right word, dulcet tones a lot better. See you Sunday.
See you Sunday.